forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we've already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. So, my sermon notes. Paul talks there about a prize. He says, those earlier verses, he talks about pressing on to receive the prize. And his image is, like you're in a race and you've got to keep going to get to the end. And that prize is lying before you. It could be an Olympic medal or, the $2 trophy. Doesn't matter. He's just pressing on for this prize. He's seen the prize and he wants to win that race. He's looking forward to eternity is what he's saying. And I think that's important for all of us. We can really get just lost in the present, what we're doing today and tomorrow, and got to go back to work, got to do this, got to do that. But Paul says, no, you've got to look forward to eternity. And we've got a promise there of joy, blessing, eternal happiness, and we need to focus on that, especially when we're going through a bit of a rough patch, especially when things aren't going too well. It's important to look to the goal, to look to the end points. In Revelation 21:7, we're told that God is making a new heavens and a new earth in which there's no grief, no sorrow, but God will be with us forever. No death, no tears. That's pretty good goal to have, isn't it? That's something to look forward to. Better than looking forward to a holiday. We had a few holidays. I used to love going to the beach in summer. That was just the highlight of my year. Just going off the script a bit, but anyway. And God healed me of that, because year after year we had some bad holidays. There was one holiday I can remember we went. It rained and rained when Josh was just little. It just bucketed with rain day after day after day. And then we decided to cut short our holiday, head home. Kids got sick on the way home. It was just awful. Then there was the year we went to Coffs Harbour. Love Coffs Harbour. November, I think it was. And it was freezing. Like, it was almost snowing on the beach. That's right. We went up to Maroochydore. There was a conference. First week, second week. I was looking forward to swimming and at Maroochydore Beach, and beaches were closed because of all the stingers. And there was this other time, boiling hot, Newcastle, we were boiling hot. And 40 degree day, and you'd sort of park your car, and it was like, 40 in the car park. You walk over the beach, down onto the sand. get in the water, and we'd had a few days of easterly winds blowing, and it had brought the cold water from the deeps, and literally they were dragging people out of the water suffering from hypothermia. Would you believe it? So at that point, I realised that I'd made beach going an idol, and so, yeah, anyway. That wasn't the prize that I'm pressing forward to, is the point. You know, we set up all sorts of dreams in our head. If only this, if only that. If I get to the beach, then it'll be great. If I have a week off, it'll be great. If whatever. But those, there's nothing wrong with those things, but we've got to remember the final destination, the prize that we should be looking forward to, is eternity with God. You were made for eternity. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, God has written eternity in the hearts of men and women. That there's something in our hearts that says, you know, we're destined to have eternal life with God. And that's why when we have funerals, why when somebody dies, especially if they die at a young age, it just slaps us in the face and we know that's not right. That's not the way it's meant to be. And I said yesterday, but something about, you know, when we get to a funeral, it's like eternity coincides with ordinary life. And we just know, like, if you're hungry, it's a sign that food is real. I mean, you probably don't think this way, but we've been given this sense of hunger to remind us to fuel our bodies. Like most of us don't need reminding of that, but it's a sign that there is food that meets that hunger. Same when you're thirsty. When you're thirsty, it reminds us that there is a thing called water or coffee that is meant to refresh that thirst. In the same way, God has given us a thirst or a hunger for eternity as a sign that it's real and we have been designed for with eternity in view. And we have this longing for eternity. We long for a perfect sort of life in which everything comes together. And we know that stuff gets messed around in this life and it's never happily ever after. But we know deep in our hearts, even atheists know it. You know how atheists know that God is real? Because they've got to deny him. Okay, but the other side of the thing is there's a penalty. There's a prize and there's a penalty. In verses 18 to 19, Paul says, for I've told you before, often before, and I say it again, with tears in my eyes, there are many whose conduct shows they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And they think only about this life here on earth. And it's not clear who these people are exactly, whether they were full-on enemies of Christians, whether they were Jewish people who'd rejected the Messiah, or whether they were people who scoffed at the whole message of the resurrection. Or maybe they were nominal Christians just hanging around in the church and hadn't really absorbed the full message of Christ. And he says, they're headed for destruction because their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And they think only about this life here on earth. So, you know, it could be nominal Christians. It could be any one of you. Have you really given your life over to God? Or are you headed for destruction? Where do you belong? Do you just think about that yummy chocolate cake? Oh, that was Sandra, thank you for bringing that chocolate cake yesterday. Oh. But, you know, and all right to think about that particular chocolate cake because it really is heavenly. But if all you ever think about is, you know, the next meal, or, you know, there are people that just live for drinks after work. They just live to get onto the beer and then to spend the whole weekend drinking. I mean, I've never seen any value in that personally, even before I was a Christian. But there are people, or that. There are people who are brazen about their sins and just brag about that. We've got a whole Mardi Gras thing on that was happening in Sydney about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Just brazen, boasting about their sinfulness, boasting about their rebellion against God. And we've got people who just live for this life. And Paul says, with tears in his eyes, they're not going to make it to eternity because they've got the wrong focus and they are just living to please the body. And all of us have to make that choice. Are we going for the prize or are we going for the penalty? Are we heading for heaven or are we heading for hell? Are we heading for life or are we heading for destruction? And if you are just constantly, the only thing you ever think about is you. Me. Then you're headed for destruction. If all you ever think about is pleasing the body, you're heading for destruction. So what's the next step? We all have a choice that we can make. And the choice is this: who's the boss? Are we going to serve Jesus or are we going to serve ourselves? Are we going to look for eternity or are we going to please our bodies? Who is Lord? Who is the boss? And that question that we answer determines, will we go to heaven or will we go to hell? Are we heading for joy or are we heading for punishment? And if you have never made that choice, you need to choose today. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 6:12 that says, today is the day of salvation. You know, too many people think, I'll get around to that later, I'll have some fun now, but tomorrow they step out in front of the proverbial bus or, you know, something happens and life is short and we don't always get to put off the decision. The decision to not decide is already a decision in favour of hell. I wonder how many people in Lismore or Ballina or Grafton thought, I should get around to getting flood insurance, or I should get around to moving to higher ground. The floods came almost without warning. It's shocking to know that even in Australia in the 21st century, old people can drown in their homes because nobody got them out in time. And that's a warning for all of us, not just of floods or bushfires or natural disasters. It's a warning about all of us to put our eternal decisions, our eternal house in order and make sure that we've decided that Jesus is going to be the one that determines our lifestyle now and not put it off till after the flood or the bushfire, not put it off till after we retire or whatever. We need to make that decision now. And how do we do that? Simply A, deciding, B, praying. Lord, I just want to commit my life to following you. I recognize that I've been self-centered, I've been sinful. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to come and take away those sins. I put my trust in the cross. And from now on, I'm going to follow you. And of course, there's a good old website, new-life.org.au, that maybe there's other steps you need to make, other next steps. But the important thing is that we take that first step of deciding in our heart to follow Jesus. There's a verse in Romans that says, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's that simple. All you have to do is confess, Jesus is my Lord. And believe in your heart in the resurrection. The power of the cross. Say, I'm on for that. I'm in for that. That's the starting point, the journey of grace, the journey of miracles, the journey of joy that ends in greatest joy of all, being saved and being in heaven. Father, I just thank you that you have called us all to be saved. It says somewhere in the New Testament, 1 Peter, I think it is, that you're not willing that anybody should be lost, that any should perish, but your greatest desire is all that people choose eternity, eternal life. And Lord, I just pray for anybody here today that doesn't know you, that you'll write that in their heart today. They need you. They need